I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Up until this Sunday, the conversations initiated by the Lord God through the gospel readings and spilling over into the conversations between us have been relatively quiet and smooth. Today's reading from Luke 14 shakes that calmness up. This is not to suggest that the previous conversations have had little or no impact on our lives. They have deepened our understanding of the Lord's life and its ways in this world. What happens, though, in this reading from Luke 14 is that our Lord is honestly pouring more energy and clarity from his life into ours today. The question then is, are you and I up to receiving it? We trust as the Lord's baptized daughters and sons that we are. Luke writes that great crowds are going along with Jesus on his way. Why the great crowds? Because of the teaching and the healings that are spinning out of his ministry. And in what way is Jesus headed? To Jerusalem, where he'll be plunged into the events of Holy Week, beginning with his entrance into the city on Passion or Palm Sunday, and concluding with his resurrection on Easter Day. So our Lord turns to the great crowds and proclaims what it takes to remain his daughter or his son. If a person is convinced that their love for parents, wife or husband, brothers or sisters, even themselves, is the most important reality in their lives, then that person cannot be Jesus' son or daughter. If a person believes that they have to be freed of their problems and troubles before they can follow Jesus, then that person cannot be his daughter or son. If a person thinks they can go after our Lord without giving it some serious thought, like one who starts to build a tower but cannot finish it, or like a commander going into battle but finding out he's greatly outnumbered, then that person cannot be Jesus' son or daughter. If a person is certain that they can decide what is truly important for their lives, but such importance is attached to what they accumulate and what they accomplish, then that person cannot be his daughter or son. Let's look at each of these four realities in detail, beginning with the first one in verse 26. Does our Lord really mean that we are to hate ourselves and our families? No. But he does mean that you and I are not to love family or self more than him and his life. Here, Jesus is overturning the Jewish laws concerning families and relatives, showing that one's true family is first and foremost the family of the Lord God. A biblical teacher has noted that the Greek word for hate that is used in this verse is in fact the opposite of the love in the Lord's family, that is, the agape. Its use here is to point out one's attitude when it comes to the choice for the Lord's life. Its use is not normative on how one is to feel toward parents or family or self. Our Lord uses the word hate to remind you and me that the family into which he baptized us comes first. The family as we know it in this world comes second. The life streaming from our Lord then flows into the relationships we have as parents, as family, and as self, all driven by the reality of his agape. The second reality is the carrying of Jesus' cross in verse 27. This echoes the earlier call of the disciple to deny oneself, to take up one's cross daily, and to follow our Lord. As the crowds travel with Jesus to Jerusalem, they are beginning to encounter rejection and persecution. The command to carry the cross is the sentence of death to the old way of living, that is, the way of the world. That cross gets traced over our bodies at baptism, shattering the life into which we are born. And as we recall that tracing on a daily basis, we are reminded that real enduring life streams out only from our Lord's cross. Put another way, the cross crushes everything generated by the unholy trio and unleashes everything generated by the Holy Trinity. The third reality involves giving serious thought to following Jesus. This is unpacked in verses 28 through 32. If we're intending to do some renovating in our homes, we must first consider what we need in terms of materials, workers, and money. If everything is in place, we proceed, and the work gets done properly. If everything is not in place and we proceed, the whole project will stall, and the people around us will wonder, what was he or she thinking? Or, if potential trouble is emerging between us and a group threatening us, we first determine if we have the numbers and the resources to overwhelm them and reduce the threat. If we find out that we do not have the numbers and resources to deal with it, then Jesus suggests we look for other ways to reduce or eliminate it. Our Lord's point in these two parables is the same. Count the cost before embarking on anything as serious as a significant renovation project or a full-scale threat. In both parables, the crowds who would journey with Jesus are warned to first sit down, count the cost, determining what they lose and what they gain when traveling with him. Thus, the baptized are alerted to the saving but demanding consequences of letting the Lord splash his waters on their heads and trace his cross on their bodies. The fourth reality in verse 33 involves leaving our possessions behind. Possessions are the goods of this world. They are to be used by us as we make our way through it. They pose a problem for us, though, because they can easily become gods, making demands of us and stirring us to consume as much of them as we can. That's why, throughout Luke's gospel, Jesus teaches his followers on the proper use of possessions. As baptized people, possessions are given us by the Lord God so we can manage them to the best of our abilities. In that way, we use them. They do not use us. With these four realities swirling around our lives, we come back now to this parish's baptismal font. When it was used to pour the Lord's water on our heads, we did not notice it was angering the unholy trio of sin, Satan, and death. As a result of being baptized, that trio vents its anger as long as you and I live in this world, working frantically to get us to dry its waters off and to forget this font was ever used. But note what that water did in terms of real life. It drew us into the life of the Holy Trinity. It drenched us with the forgiveness of sins. It surrounds us with the life that stretches far beyond the life of this world. Now, this anger of the unholy trio, stirred by baptismal water, is something else. Such anger is not as visible as the weather generated by a hurricane, but remember that the unholy trio is very clever and very sophisticated. They work on us to forget the day we came to this font, or to dry its waters off our heads with realities of their own. You are a decent, hard-working person. Why do you need this font? You are inclined to be spiritual. Why do you need this font? You're able to pray once in a while. Why do you need this font? You are acquainted with a parish or a pastor if an emergency occurs. Why do you need this font? Notice, my friends, the emptiness of these realities and how focused they are on ourselves. When the unholy trio sees the struggles of the days and the weeks that you are and I are experiencing, the last thing they want is for us to stride into the Lord's presence on a Sunday morning. They would just as soon have you and me avoiding that presence so that their anger and their ferocity would weaken and cloud our lives, eventually extinguishing us. But let us be smart about what the unholy trio is doing when they attempt to make you and me forgetful of this font or to dry off the waters of the baptisms occurring there. Let us be even smarter about what the Holy Trinity is doing as they pour the waters of this font on the heads of their people. When things begin pressing in on us and refuse to go away, remember the words that thunder from this font, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When things are not sorting themselves out well in our lives, remember the words that thunder from this font, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When things occur and rattle us to the core of our lives, remember the words that thunder from this font, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That is why, when you and I come into the Lord's presence every Sunday morning, we find His life radiating with new energy and deepening clarity into our own. Thus, may these Pentecost conversations between the Lord God and us continue, spilling over into the conversations among us. Amen. Now may the peace of the Lord God, which is beyond all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord.